I'd like to call this land board meeting to order and also to welcome the new members of the board. It's, as hopefully all of you will see, that it is a both interesting, engaging, and one of the most important facets of the roles that each of us have as statewide elected officials. I'm sure we've all had the opportunity to review the minutes. Is there a motion?
I move acceptance of the minutes, Governor.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion passes. Also recognize that as we sort of all get up to speed, that there may be different questions and things like that throughout. Certainly, the way I try to run these meetings is there's no question is a dumb question. And also, by sort of practice at times, that we take things like in chunks. If, as you're all getting up to speed, that causes heartburn, all you have to do is just say, hey, I'd like to take, you know, as an example, I will say, next action item is timber sales. Without objection, I would take all the timber sales together. If for any reason, either today or into the future, you'd rather have separate votes on individual timber sales, you can just say, no, Governor, I'd prefer to actually take these separately. So this morning, I would propose to take them all together unless there's an objection. Great. First action item, please.
Governor, members of the land board, first action item, timber sales, includes the Bull Moose Timber Sale A. This is a timber sale that is located approximately 5 miles west of Lincoln. It includes 11 harvest units, 2.3 million board feet of saw logs. Estimated rate of return is $628 per ton, generating $105,542 for the trusts, which is the public building schools. We recommend approval of that timber project. The next three are salvage timber sales associated with the Copper King Fire near Thompson Falls. Item B is the Mud Creek Fire salvage timber sale located 13 miles west of Plains. Five harvest units, 1.1 million board feet, $102,000 estimated minimum bid. It goes to public buildings. There is construction of a little bit of new road, but mainly maintenance. The item C is the Lower Calico Fire salvage timber sale located 17 miles northwest of Plains, eight harvest units, 1.5 million board feet, generating $118,252 for public buildings. It's a seed tree harvest, 1 mile of new permanent road. And finally, the Upper Calico Fire salvage timber sale located 16 miles northwest of Plains, 11 harvest units, 3.7 million board feet, generating $241,782 for common schools. We recommend approval of the timber sales.
Thanks, Director. Is there any public comment on any of the timber sales? Please, if you'll just state who you are, who you represent. If someone other than yourself.
Is this on?
It is.
Good morning, Governor, members of the land board. For the record, my name is Julia Altemus. The last name is spelled A-L-T-E-M-U-S. I'm here this morning to represent the members of the Montana Wood Products Association. Welcome, new land board members. You guys look all very regal up there and official. We're here to support not only the timber sales, but the timber program within Trust Lands. They do a great job. These timber sales, I think, will represent about 6 million board feet. If you divide that by 5,000 board feet, which is usually on a logging truck, I was just doing the math and you called me up, but that's a lot of loads of logs going to the mill. So we appreciate that. The state represents anywhere between 15 and 20% now of the timber, of the total harvest in the state of Montana. The Forest Service represents about 14%, and they have, you know, quite a bit more land base in the state does. So it's critical. The work that the Trust Lands does is critical to the survival of the industry, and we certainly support these timber sales. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Altemus. Further public comment? Is there a motion?
Somebody want the honors?
Make your first motion to approve timber sales. Any of you?
Governor, I do have a question.
First, we need a motion, and then we'll get a question.
Governor, I move approval of item 117.1, A, B, C, and D.
It's the green.
It's just the light's not on.
There's a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second, Mr. Chair.
Are there questions or comments from members of the board? Superintendent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In regard to new construction as well as road maintenance and in reconstruction, there seems to be some that's going to be going on. Is there a budgetary item for this?
Governor and Superintendent, the timber sale pays for the road construction itself. So one of the differences in price, you'll note that some timber sales are higher minimum bids and than others, and that is a cost calculation the department puts in place so that the lower priced timber usually reflects a higher amount of road construction. So that's how we build it in. On the other hand, these are competitive bids, and so the actual sale price may exceed that by as many as two times.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Auditor Rosendale.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and for Mr. Tubbs. On the roads as well, while I see that they're not going to be open to public motorized use because of the habitat conservation plan, will they still be open to public use for hiking, other, you know, whether horseback riding, anything else?
Governor, Commissioner, the general rule on state roads over state lands is they are open to public access, just non-motorized. Where we do have county roads through or main thoroughfares, we'll have those open for motorized as well. But generally, it is open for public access, including trail riding on horses, just not motorized.
Thank you very much.
Not during the timber sale.
Any additional questions? I'd also note Sonia's not here.
That's Governor, Sonia is sick today. Sean Thomas would be answering questions.
And as you'll meet if you haven't yet, Sonia Gurman is the in charge of the Forest Side out of Missoula. And she'll regularly, other than when she's sick, be at a meeting like this. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion passes. Next action item.
Next action item is item 2, sale of cabin and home sites, preliminary approval for sale, locations in Flathead, Missoula, Lewis and Clark, Gallatin, Dawson, and Richland counties. Beneficiaries, Montana Tech, Montana State University, and University of Montana and Common Schools. We are recommending the preliminary approval of 24 cabin sites nominated for sale on Echo Lake, McGregor Lake, Placid Lake, Lincoln Flats, and an unsurveyed parcels in Gallatin County, Dawson, and Richland counties. Most of these are part of the cabin site sales program. This is a program that has been built up over several years of legislation passed by the legislature starting back in 2009 and then the last one being in 2015. We now have staff, and you will regularly see as many as 20 or 30 sale proposals coming before this land board. These are exclusive use single purpose cabin sites. They are not publicly accessible. The improvements are not the state's. They are the landowners, and we are selling the property underlying those improvements. This is the preliminary step, so it will come back to you again for minimum price and then final sale. We recommend approval of the package.
Is there any public comment? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion that we approve the second item of business, the total of 24 cabin site sales.
For preliminary approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion passes. Next action item.
Item 3 is sale of cabin and home sites. Set minimum bid for sale. So this is the second step in the process. These are located on the outlet of Sealy Lake. That would raise, our minimum bid would be $320,000 in total, just over 2 acres in the two parcels. These did go to hearing, so part of the process is the landowner can object to the appraised value. We use a licensed appraiser that is chosen out of a number that is offered to the landowner. We pick one, they do the appraisals, and then if the landowner objects, they can go to hearing. These did in fact go to hearing and were recommended at the department or at the appraised value of $160,000 and $150,000. We recommend approval.
Is there any public comment? Any public comment? Is there a motion?
Governor, I move approval of item 117-3.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Discussion? Questions? Or any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion passes. Next action item.
Item 4 is land banking acquisition, preliminary approval for purchase. This is the other side of the sales program, is where we purchase land. The funds that are generated from the sales of state lands properties go into the land banking program. This parcel is in Yellowstone County. It's a 1,200-acre farm, the Berkeley Road Farm. This is the first step in the approval. We will go do our due diligence to actually determine whether the values for, that are projected to generate revenue are truly there, that we do have the public access that is necessary to actually farm the sections, because if you look on the map on the page 38 of 99, there's some corner crossing sections. Some of those are easily identified as public road accessible, but we're doing a little due diligence on at least one of those parcels. There is minimal wildlife habitat. However, there is a bit. This is more in the part of the reason we're picking this property is the Southern Land Office has had a number of land sales, and we do like to try to not shift state land away from regions over time. So we have been looking for properties in the Yellowstone area to purchase some state lands given the number of acres we've already sold. With that, we would like approval so that we can go forward and work with the landowner to come back to you with a bid.
Is there any public comment on preliminary approval for purchase of the Berkeley Road Farm? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer for action item 117-4, preliminary approval.
Thanks, Superintendent. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. First, also, Director, if you wouldn't mind, just as we talk about rates of returns and things like that, I think that this estimated rate of return is 2.87%. If you'd kind of help the board out a little, like, what are we looking for and as we do exchanges?
Governor and land board members, and I think Sean Thomas will get into this some more in the overview, but
I don't want to steal your thunder.
We oftentimes, some of those parcels back in that second package where we, of the 24, there was some homestead sites. If you notice, those were eastern Montana, rangeland, fairly dry grass. Those rates of returns on the sections out there are typically low. Oftentimes, we have stranded sections caught in a sea of private ownership, and the landowner just wants to block up their ownership. So those might return, say, 0.5%. The cabin sites that you saw generally are high rates of return per acre, so about 3.3%. In the land banking program, we are challenged to make sure that we acquire land that makes more money than the lands that we have sold by statute. And so we will bundle the packages so that we can achieve those high rates of returns on some properties and still, in this case, this is a very good ag property. It isn't. Oftentimes, we're also looking for public access. In this case, we want to generate monies for these trusts, and so we're really focused in on that one from the revenue generation. So 2.87 is about a 0.5% over our average statewide average of about 2.2%, and well above many of the parcels sold in Yellowstone counties, which are those stranded low-earning ones. The biggest challenge we have is those cabin site sales to find a returning property that has that high a value. We can do that. It also, other things that we watch for is ag purchases provide immediate return to the trusts. Timberland purchases take time to generate revenue. They have that revenue, but it may be 10 years, 20 years from now before we can capture that revenue. So we take all those factors in play as well.
Thanks, Director. Questions or comments?
Governor, so I had a question. The purpose of this is basically to maintain a percentage of government ownership of land. It's like a ballast effect. My question is, was this competitively bid, or are there other farmers not interested in this land, or is this simply a case of where we want to offset losses of land, governmental land ownership elsewhere?
Governor, Secretary of State, the overall land banking, we keep as many acres we sell as many acres as we purchase. So there's usually a little margin because you have to sell and buy, so there's always a little difference between the amount you've sold versus the amount you've purchased. But in general, it's 70,000 acres, and we've got about 69,000 acres purchased. As far as our ability to work in the market, we are a very slow actor. Every purchase that we make has to come before this land board three times. Oftentimes, private buyers purchase it out from under us because of the lengthy process it takes to actually close the deal. In this case, the landowner has put this up. We saw it on the market, contacted him. He's willing to work with the state in the process that we have to sell the properties. This is the first step, so we do not have we have what the realtor says the value of this property is. What we then do with this approval is to go out and do our full market analysis and bring back to you appraised value that we are limited. We have to get an appraisal, and we cannot purchase the property for any more than that value. Sometimes that's the end of the deal with the state. If you approve it at a preliminary at that price value, then we do in fact just purchase it and the final approval.
One further question, Governor.
Sure.
So in that process, is it similar to, does the state make a bid or an offer, and then it's under contract where nobody else can negotiate, or during that time could another private owner or farmer make an offer?
Governor, Secretary of State, up until the point you give final approval, we can't commit to the purchase. So, yes.
And we can't lock the seller into just only selling to the Trust Land Division of the state.
Yeah, no, it's clearly the seller's prerogative on these purchases. What we have is given the size of the trust land's ability to purchase, they know that we have the money to buy it when we say we're going to buy it. So when we make a commitment to work with them, they know that there's a big public process, but at the end we would have the capital to actually make the investment should we get there.
Thank you.
And I'd say just a little bit more background. So there doesn't end up, like, you don't say in this county
X acres have sold, so we're absolutely going to purchase it. But you try to do some regional distribution. I mean, if we look, we've sold over 2,000 acres in Yellowstone County. We haven't acquired nearly that much. So you do kind of try to spread it out as well. Auditor Rosendale.
Yes, Mr. Governor. And about roughly the time frame from the time that you would enter into the initial agreement, identify a property and enter into the initial agreement until the period when that's actually closed and the transaction is complete?
On the short side, maybe 6 months, but it's usually a 10 to 12 month process.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes. Next action item is easements, and what you'll typically see is a big old handful almost every meeting of easements. I do it the same way, that if somebody has a specific concern about a specific easement, you can request to pull it out, and we'd vote on that separately. Otherwise, typically they're fairly pro forma, so just propose to take the easements all together in one package.
Motion.
No, first.
Right.
Public comment.
Yes, easement. Excuse me. I was ahead of myself. Item five, easements. So I just wanted to point out a few of them. The historic county road easements, that is a statute that county roads existed over trust lands for many decades before we began to start to realize that they were in trespass and that the trusts needed to be compensated. And so for the last 15 or so years, the historic county road statute was passed. It also includes utilities. I think the termination now is about 2020. So each time you come before the easement package, we'll have a number of these historic roads and utilities. A new private access road, you'll see those from time to time. The water pipelines are the big regional water systems. And Northwestern in particular, Northwestern Energy is coming in with a substantial number of these easements, again trying to clean up their books so that they're not in trespass over state lands. These aren't generally the biggest revenue generators. However, it's part of our daily operation just to get things cleaned up. At some point in time, it would be great if we could get at least by the historic easements. But we recommend approval of the easement package.
Same public comment. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, in reference to agenda item 117-5, right-of-way applications, I would move that we approve them as submitted.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion passes. Now let's go to informational item.
Sean Thomas, the Administrator of Trustlands, will do a brief presentation just to give us kind of a perspective of what we're going to see over the next 4 years.
Good morning, Governor, members of the Land Board, for the
hey,
record.
Sean, I don't think that mic is on. I don't hear the same echo.
Not? All right.
No, he's just taller.
It only... I'll do my best.
Yeah, that's on.
Can you
yeah.
hear me? Okay. Am I picking up? Good morning, Governor, members of the Land Board. For the record, Sean Thomas. I'm the Administrator for the Trust Land Management Division of DNRC, and I'm happy to be here today. I want to provide a brief overview for the sake of the three new Land Board members about what the Trust Lands programs are and make some introductions to some folks on my staff. We have a variety of folks here today. Usually our bureau chiefs in charge of individual programs will appear before you if there may be questions about a particular agenda item. For the purposes of today, we didn't have anything related to either our ag and grazing program or our minerals program, so those folks are here in the room today. However, unfortunately, Sonia Gurman, the Forest Management Bureau Chief, who resides at our office in Missoula, was unable to make it today due to a stomach virus. She sent me a text bright and early this morning, and I advised her to please stay home and get better. So with that, I'll move through each program a little bit and talk a little bit about some of the high points of the types of things that that we do, managing 5.2 million acres of surface land across the state of Montana and a little over 6 million acres of mineral estate. The Trust Land Management Division has four primary programs. We have Ag and Grazing Management, and the Bureau Chief for Ag and Grazing is here today, Kevin Chappell. Forest Management is Sonia Gurman out of Missoula. Minerals Management, the Bureau Chief is Monty Mason. Monty's here today. And our Real Estate Management Bureau is now headed up by Mike Atwood. Mike's new to that job. We brought him up from our Dillon office where he was a forester here fairly recently within the last 6 months. So he's getting up to speed on all the things real estate related. You will see those folks here fairly routinely. The Enabling Act granted the state of Montana for common schools, K-12 education, support Section 16 and 36 of every township in the state. The Trust Land Management Division provides consistent funding source for the 14 trust beneficiaries. Activities on land alleviate taxpayers of 5.5% of the revenue needed for K-12 funding. Active management and the sale of goods from trust lands generates thousands of jobs across Montana. And Trust Lands is one of Montana's oldest and most sustainable businesses, profiting more than 7 times what it costs to manage. Our mission statement is to manage the state of Montana's trust land resources to produce revenues for the trust beneficiaries while considering environmental factors and protecting the future income-generating capacity of the land.
Sean, what's the 14? You say 14 trust beneficiaries, just generally. I don't have to name them all, but to help folks understand what that means.
Governor, thank you for not making me name them all. The 14 different trust beneficiaries. So K-12, the Enabling Act, created the K-12 common schools, which is the majority of the acreage. But there's also other smaller trusts that were received land either in the Enabling Act or subsequent acts such as the Morrill Land Grant College Act. So the beneficiaries are university systems. There's a trust beneficiary for public buildings here on the Capitol Complex, et cetera. Pine Hill School, there's a whole variety of
school deaf and blind and others. You can at some point if you want to see the trusts, but
Governor and land board members, I did bring a copy of the division's annual report, which has lists of all the trusts by name, how many acres that are held in trust by each individual entity, and we have those available for you today. We'll start with our Ag and Grazing Management Bureau. They're responsible for managing the majority of the acreage that we have. Of the 5.2 million surface acres, 4.1 million of them are rangeland, and 500,000 are ag lands. Ag and Grazing Bureau accounts for approximately 43% of the Trust Land Division's revenue in the current fiscal year. Our three different sections within that bureau, in order to achieve the management of these lands, we have a land leasing section, we have the grazing section, and agricultural lands. Forage produced on grazing lands supports nearly 1 million AUMs across the state, animal unit months. An average of 7 million bushels of wheat and 1 million bushels of barley, 70,000 tons of hay are produced annually from school trust lands. At the end of the year report last month, I said that that's enough wheat to make 284 million boxes of Wheaties. Our Forest Management Bureau manages 780,000 acres of forested state trust lands and accounts for approximately 10% of the division's total revenue. We are really proud of the statistic that Ms. Altimus said during testimony today. We have about 5% of the total forested acres in the state, yet we're producing almost 20% of the harvest in the state. Different sections within the Forest Management Bureau, forest product sales, forest improvement, forest inventory, and resource management and planning. Forest management programs create certainty for the timber industry by providing the most consistent supply of timber in the state. Trust lands accounts for, there's that number again. We're really proud of that statistic. We sell 56.9 million board feet per year, which creates over 500 direct industry jobs. Our annual harvest is calculated on a sustainable basis using a very complex model and study for how fast we can grow, harvest, and continue to manage timberland in the future. That's enough lumber to frame 3,800 average-size homes. In 2015, for some perspective, in Montana there were 4,000 housing starts. So essentially the timber that grows from state trust land is enough to frame almost every new housing start in the state. Our Minerals Management Bureau manages approximately 1,900 oil, gas, coal, and other mineral agreements across 700 Oh, that's a typo. That's not a typo. I'm sorry. That's 760,000 acres of land that actually has active agreements on it. They have 6.2 million acres of estate that they manage total. And the difference between that number and the 5.2 million acres of surface is that historically, as the board, prior to the advent of the land banking program, as the land board sold off state lands, we always maintained and kept the ownership of the mineral estate. So our original grant was about 6 million acres. We have 5 million acres of surface left and still the original mineral estate. The mineral section has a mineral leasing, a lease management, and an auditing section. Revenues collected from royalties and rentals help subsidize taxes to support Montana's educational system, and production from these lands help meet the ever-growing needs for energy. Minerals Management Bureau scrutinizes all projects with the goals of maximizing revenue while protecting the surface in a manner that is environmentally conscious. 1.3 million barrels of oil produced in the last fiscal year. That's enough to drive 1 million mid-sized cars from Helena to Malta. A Real Estate Management Bureau. Real estate management as a function of the division is really the catch-all for everything that isn't one in one of the other three categories. So it involves a whole number of different functions. We have the land banking program, which we referred to in the earlier agenda item. We have a report that just got finalized through the last calendar year on our land banking program. It's available on our website. I have a few copies here today. That details all of the sales of land and what their average rates of return have been versus the acquisitions that we've made and what the rates of return of those properties have been. And the idea behind the land banking program is really to sell off low-producing, isolated tracts of land that are either hard or difficult to manage and to produce higher-producing, higher-revenue-generating lands. And we do like to try to balance that number over different geographical areas, and we do keep the number relatively balanced over time. The real estate programs account for approximately 12% of the total revenue. In sections within real estate, we do land transactions, we do rights of way and easements. Property management includes commercial leasing and residential leasing. We have responsibility for managing the beds of navigable rivers. We are in charge of keeping a non-trust land inventory on a statewide basis, and we work on public access. Real Estate Management Bureau actively pursues commercial leasing, especially within urban areas. And proceeds from the sale of land are placed into land banking account, which can only be used to acquire other real property interests. That's a very brief overview of some of the programs, but we're happy to make ourselves available now and into the future as you get up to speed on the programs are that we do and help answer any questions that you may have.
Thanks, Sean. Are there any questions?
Governor, while Sean's still up there, in the previous 4 years I was on the land board, there have been a number of initiatives to collaborate with in Indian Country with tribal historical offices. Can you just give a brief overview to the board about what we do there and why?
Certainly, Governor, General Fox, members of the board, we have taken on an initiative to try to do a better job of working with Montana's Indian tribes to ensure that they understand what we're doing on trust land. Several tribes, we actually have school trust land within the reservation boundaries. The Confederated Sedge and Kootenai tribe, for example, we have over 30,000 acres of school trust land that are located within their reservation boundary. So we've historically worked very closely with them on projects because we need to get road access permits and those types of things from their government in order to be able to do our timber sale projects and our land management activities. But we've tried to branch out and work with all the tribes in Montana to make sure that everybody understands what we've got going on and what impacts there may be, and for them to have an opportunity to potentially raise concerns or bring up issues that we might not otherwise hear about. To that end, we actually had a statewide training up on the Confederated Salish and Kootenai last year. We held the land board meeting there on their site. That was the first time in history that the land board has met on an Indian reservation in the state of Montana, and had our staff from our forest management program meet there for 2 days to learn more about the cultural resources that are important to the CS&KT people.
Thanks. Follow-up, Governor?
Please.
Also, Sean, could you briefly mention what kind of field trip opportunities might be available to the board if they'd like to learn more about what Trust Lands Division does out in the field?
Certainly, Governor. General Fox, we are more than happy to take yourselves and your staffers out to look at what we do on our state trust land management, and we will make a lot of opportunities available to do that over the course of the spring and summer as the weather gets better and the legislative session ends. We can look at timber sales. You will hear a lot about the cabin site, both the leasing and the sales program. We talked about the sales program a little bit today. The leasing program is another area of high interest from a lot of different folks in Montana, and we'd be happy to bring folks around. If you have ideas of things you'd like to see, we'd certainly love to hear from you about what those things may be. There's a number of really interesting and fun things that we get to do every day on behalf of our beneficiaries, and we're happy to try to share and show you around and learn what your ideas are about how to best manage these resources.
And Governor, just one caution. When you guys get a quorum together, we notice it. So don't stack up too many of the land board members, or we're going to have a whole public meeting.
Public notice and things like that. So.
I would recommend summer months.
Questions or comments, please.
Thank you.
Lieutenant.
Thank you. Governor, and thank you very much, Mr. Thomas, for this presentation. I look at trends, and so I look at the four different programs that we have here and looking to be proactive rather than reactive, whether it's market or anything with regard. Could you share with me then, I see that agriculture and grazing, of course, is the number one source that goes into the guarantee account that initially funds our schools. So could you share with me some trends then, and quite possibly not at this time, but how we can be more proactive, and if it's not just within that largest component, how we could be with the other? I'm also looking in, when we're reactive, especially it's cost. There's cost to be reactive. So how can we differentiate that cost so that it's not so great when things happen? If you could, Mr. Thomas.
Governor, Superintendent, I think really quickly, I would, in terms of looking at trends, largely we're price takers in, you know, economic speak, in the markets. We're dealing with commodities like wheat, cattle, those types of things, timber. And so we don't always have a lot of control over what those markets are. I think our strategy throughout time has been to provide consistent and predictable streams of revenue through being consistent and predictable in our policy and how we do business. And so that's where it starts. We do have opportunities, though. And this week in our appropriations subcommittee, I am asking for an FTE to work more on our commercial leasing program within our real estate program, for example. That's a place where we really have an opportunity to grow revenues by doing more commercial leasing. We have a absorption capacity. We have a list of projects that we're currently working on. We have another list of projects that's ready to go. And as fast as we can find resources to put towards them, we are doing so. However, you know, if we had a little more resources there, that's a place where we could do it a little faster and take advantage of good markets and opportunities that exist within commercial leasing, primarily in retail and urban areas around Kalispell, Bozeman, Miles City, places like that. So there are a number of ideas like that that we're always working on. As far as what the trends have been, the land board 6 years ago now, I would guess, looked at the grazing program really carefully about whether or not full market value is being achieved for our AUM rate, and phased in an increase in that rate multiplier. It's tied to beef cattle prices. We've seen that escalate as beef cattle prices were pretty strong for that period of time. They have tapered off, and our grazing rate will take about a $5 per AUM reduction in the current fiscal year that we're in today. So again, price takers in the market, things do vary over time. We do feel like the grazing rate has been a big improvement. For every dollar the grazing rate increases, that's $1 million of distributable revenue to the beneficiaries. So that's an opportunity that the board has looked at and implemented, I think, very successfully over the last 5 or 6 years.
I'd only add too, Sean, that it'll be interesting over the 4 years, because on the one hand, right, we're to maximize value for the trust, but recognizing we're beneficiaries for the long term. So there will be times, as but one example, where you're going to do an ag lease and it ends up contested. And so two individuals will end up saying, no, I want to pay this much for it versus this much. And they'll have a hearing before it comes to us. But the overall discussion of, well, somebody might be asking more for it, but long term, are they going to take care of those lands how we expect it to, and what's actually motivating a bid that may be way above price. So it's all, it ends up in some respects kind of the long-term path, but there will be times, case by case, which will be presented in front of all of us as board members.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you. Commissioner.
Mr. Conner, and Sean and Director Tubbs, just a comment. I think I've made it pretty clear as I've worked with you guys in the past and going forward that while I recognize we have a fiduciary responsibility to the state to generate the revenue and take care of these properties, as we start going through the land banking program, I want to make sure that we keep an eye towards trying to direct a lot of that focus and attention towards purchasing lands that are going to help us provide better access to other public lands for the folks of Montana to utilize. We've got a lot of discretion as far as identifying these properties and making sure that they generate proper revenue, but if we can tie them in to providing better access to some of the federal public lands, then it will serve the people of Montana much better also. So I would like to make sure that we do keep that in the forefront as we go forward. Thank you.
I'd also add that you'll see that when we're doing land banking, even though often we're selling off pieces of land that don't have access and might be completely, you know, surrounded by private, that when we get the appraisal, it is assuming access already exists. So from that perspective, I think that we're both covering the long-term beneficiary's interest. And you'll see, Commissioner Rosendale, I think as Attorney General Fox did, that it certainly can't be a paramount function as we're looking at these transactions. It is something that we're always looking at, is the possibilities of actually expanding opportunities for access.
Governor, just a couple other
please
issues. We are currently working with the Bureau of Land Management for in-lieu sections, is what we call them. At statehood, the state was granted Section 16 and 36 of every township by 1889. Some of those townships had prior reserves, whether it was a Glacier Park or a Yellowstone or a military base or just had homesteaded out. As a result, a balance of acres were not available. Much of that was taken care of in the first 20 years of the state. That's why Daniels County is half blue, as a lot of Glacier Park ended up in Daniels County. However, there was a small balance of about $3.4 million in value associated with acreages around Yellowstone and Glacier Park that we almost closed the door in the 80s, but they kept those properties as high-value properties. We're now in the final runs of negotiating a $3.4 million value of land to be provided to the state of Montana out of the public lands of the federal government. You will hear over the next several months discussions about that, because BLM will put out a NEPA document and have public comments available. What we're trying to do is achieve a high. We may not have the same goals as the BLM. Our goals is, we'd really like a couple of Bakken sections. I'm not sure they're willing to give us a couple of Bakken sections. So we're looking at the high-valued public access, all those criteria. You would assume that we would look for. We are. BLM now has heard what we want, and they're telling us what they might be able to provide.
Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Governor and Director Tubbs. And is that, if I'm not mistaken, the where we're looking at probably gaining 10,000 acres of land, but we've identified about 16,000 acres so that we can sort of push and choose and negotiate that 6,000 across the board?
Governor, Commissioner, yes, we had a I don't know whether it was two times the amount of acreage in value identified in a list provided to BLM, knowing that not all parcels that we would identify for acquisition would be available. They're going to go through a cultural resources survey.
Right.
If there's significant cultural values on any of those sections, we would not want to take ownership of those because we want to produce revenue from them. Other issues may arise as well. So we've had more acreage identified than will ultimately be transferred, and that's allowing this negotiation to go on between the state and the federal government.
And Governor, if I could, and have they been identified in a map form, or do you just have it in a summary text version of those parcels?
Because
I love maps.
Sean Thomas.
Governor, Commissioner Rosendale, the BLM has those parcels on a map, so I think it's available through their process. I don't know that we have seen a copy of that. We have a spreadsheet that has the parcels listed on it. But we can certainly hunt down a map for you if you'd like.
Thank you very much.
Governor, if I might add, we might have a Montanan soon to be in office that we might be able to negotiate with a little better.
We'll finally get the deal that we want from the BLM.
And, Governor, another land transaction that's been in discussion is that within the Belknap reservations are about 26 sections. They are very interested in not having state lands within the boundaries of their reservation. That's a federal action that needs to take place. So working with our congressional delegation, they can direct the Department of the Interior to identify lands within the public ownership that would be able to exchange for the lands within the Belknap. It will take several years to get complete, but as soon as I can get some time off after the legislature, I want to make that a high priority to begin to get drafting and direction to the Department of Interior, and then to have it is not an easy lift, mind you, because we're going to move 26 sections from one place and have to find it in the public domain in another. And as with in lieu of lands, the federal grazing rate is substantially lower than the state's grazing rate. The mineral estate becomes very complex because we need to exchange into equal value minerals, and there'll be some debate as to whether we know the value of the minerals. But nonetheless, we've been able to do that on Crow. That once had a number of sections of state trust lands within the Crow Reservation, and they no longer exist due to an exchange in the 1990s. So this land board, we will be working with the Belknap and the federal agencies to try to accomplish that after a century of that. We acquired those lands through an act of Congress in the 1920s. And if you talk to members of the Belknap, they can be very direct as to their opinion of why those lands came.
Yeah, I'd only add as any of you are either at Fort Belknap or other places, in many respects, that this has been an issue since the creation of the Fort Belknap Reservation, and as individual commissioners, they'll say, well, those are our lands, not yours. In point of fact, even if we as a land board wanted to give away federal lands or state lands, that'd be inconsistent with our constitutional obligations. So it is something that at the end of the day, it'd be nice to have the consolidated lands is something a little bit larger than we as the members of this board.
Let's see if we can get some federal lands in the Powder River on the Wyoming side.
Always willing to grow.
I've been working on the Bakken, on the Little East of North Dakota. Yeah. Other questions? Now it's time for public comment for items that were not otherwise on the agenda. Is there any public comment? Is there any public comment? I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Congratulations, new land board. This is, we've survived.